We're going to start where we left off on the telly last night when we were discussing the definition of a terrorist in Northern Ireland. How do you define a terrorist? And what is the difference between the so-called Jihadi John, Muhammad Mwazi, who holds a blade to someone's throat and beheads them, and someone in Northern Ireland who put a bomb under a car, who strapped a bomb to a human being and made them drive into a city centre, blowing them up? What's the difference? How do you define a terrorist? And it just so happens, we were having that discussion last night, and here the story is front page news of the newsletter, as one of the world's leading Catholics has told that newspaper that he sees a close parallel between Islamic State and the IRA. Now, I've been speaking to Sinn Féin's John O'Dowd about this and asked him for his thoughts.
The IRA left the phase of conflict around 10 years ago. So the IRA actions are over. I haven't read the article. I'm not even sure which member of the Catholic clergy you're referring to. I also have to say that even in terms of this individual who has been entitled Jihadi John, I believe in justice. The trial by media of an individual who's been named across many, many news organisations, and then under that has to be brought to justice. How anybody's going to be brought to justice after a name has been spliced across news agencies and has been found guilty without standing in front of a court is beyond me. But how and ever.
Are you serious? Are you serious? You're criticising the fact that the press have been lambasting Mwazi, otherwise known as Jihadi John.
Do you believe in justice?
Of course I do.
Right, okay. Where should justice take place? At a court of law. Now, if this individual is ever arrested, if he is ever arrested and brought before a court of law, likelihood is, as a result of the actions of a number of individuals, that court case could never proceed. So I believe in justice. As difficult at times as it is, as difficult as the problems and the challenges it causes to an individual and society, that's where justice takes place. But back to your other point.
Well, John, can I just, because I know you haven't seen it, and it's what we're going to be concentrating on today, during today's discussion. So let me just read you a quote from Cardinal Dolan, all right? And he's the Archbishop of New York. And many politicians in Northern Ireland, no doubt, will be asked about this now over the next 24 hours. And he has said that Islamic State extremists, who now hold major parts of territory in the Middle East, had perverted their own religion in the same manner as Irish republics had done to Catholicism in decades gone by. This is front page of the newsletter. And his direct quote is, Cardinal Dolan said Islamic State's in the midst of a systemic, well-choreographed, very well-focused attempt to eradicate the ancient Christian population of the Middle East. You know the parallel I've drawn, he said? Remember 30, 35, 40 years ago with the IRA in Ireland? The IRA claimed to be Catholic and they were baptised. They had a Catholic identity. What were they doing? Was a perversion of everything the church stood for.
Right. I don't know. Cardinal Dolan, is it?
Yes.
I don't know the gentleman or the individual. I don't know what his knowledge is of Ireland or the conflict in Ireland. I don't know how well informed he is about the conflict in Ireland. But I think that in terms of making statements, and he's perfectly entitled to make statements, that it's useful to come from an informed position when making commentary about conflicts or international conflicts from his perspective before making comparisons.
Well, I guess I have one final question and then we'll let you go this morning. What's the difference from someone that holds a blade to someone's throat and beheads them as Mwazi has done, and someone in Northern Ireland who strapped a bomb to someone and made them drive into the city centre, or someone that planted a bomb under someone's car and blew them up? What's the difference? Are they both terrorists?
Well, what's the difference between a special branch officer hand over the file of a nationalist or even indeed a member of the Protestant community to a UVF hit squad, which includes the drawings of the members of that person's house and where their bedroom and where they sleep? What's the difference to that?
Do you think Mwazi is a terrorist?
Or
is he a freedom fighter?
Stephen, I totally disagree with the actions of ISIS in the Middle East.
Are they terrorists or freedom fighters? I totally disagree
with the conflict in the Middle East being driven by both Western powers and powers within the Middle East.
But John, just to be clear, because it's at the heart of our discussion, are they terrorists? Are they terrorists or are they freedom fighters?
I will answer your question. I'm totally opposed to the conflict being driven and imposed upon the ordinary people of the Middle East by both people from within the Middle East and from outside. The actions of the individual who we see abroad, and I haven't watched any of the videos, I have to say, but the reports of those, that is not the action of a freedom fighter, in my opinion.
Why not?
Because I don't believe that attacks such as those and deliberate targeting of civilians is right, either by organisations, whether they be non-state organisations or state organisations.
Violence to achieve their political aims.
Well, violence, that doesn't give you a free card to do anything or justify every action that is carried out by an armed organisation, whether it be state or non-state. But you see, Stephen, it's very easy in this society to set yourself on a moral pedestal from either side of the argument, from either side of the conflict. But the fact of the matter is this, both the state and non-state organisations who were involved in the conflict in Ireland and Britain did terrible things. Terrible things. And when we have discussions like this, you and I are with other broadcasters, and you can challenge me on the IRA, and I can challenge you on the 30 years of silence of the media in relation to collusion, because she's always referred to it as Provo propaganda, until it actually dawned on you that it existed. And if you had intervened earlier, maybe you would have intervened, would have lessened the time the conflict went on. But however, we can both throw all challenges at each other. I am not a spokesperson for ISIS. I'm not here to defend ISIS. And I'm not here to put anybody or try anybody in the media. I don't care what land they are from or what land they may be in now. My job is to resolve the conflict in Ireland, to stabilise the North, and to ensure that I do everything within my power to ensure we never return to the conflict which we have dragged ourselves out of.
Okay.
That's my job.
John O'Dowd, thank you very much. Thank you. So there's Sinn Féin's position on it. 0845 955 678. Leonard and Lurgan, and then we'll speak to the DP's Geoffrey Donaldson. Morning to you, Leonard.
How you doing? I'm just listening to you there, Stephen, and you seem to you're bringing up about ISIS, and you're making it clear that it's the provisional IRA that you're talking about.
No, actually, don't put words in my mouth. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm referring to what Cardinal Dolan said, and I absolutely say at the very top of this discussion, Leonard, the paramilitaries on both sides, in both communities. Well, that's what I'm telling you now.
No, you didn't. Well, that's what you're referring to. You didn't say it at the start, so let me contradict you that you didn't say it at the start. Now, I would say ISIS, when you're talking about what the difference, ISIS would have been something similar to the Shankill Road Butchers that lifted ordinary Catholics off the street and cut their throat. That's what ISIS, and now why don't you get some of them in? Or then why don't you go and look and try and put a program on the Glenan gang and the paratroopers that killed the ordinary Catholics.
How do you define a terrorist in Northern Ireland?
Well, a terrorist.
Like, if you watched that TV program last night, Nolan Live.
I did watch it. Yes.
Did you see it? And did you see me pushing and pushing the politicians, asking them for their definition of a terrorist?
Yes.
Some of them didn't want to get involved.
Yes.
Some of them didn't want to be drawn into it.
You have your man Elliot on every other day and he never answers a question that you ask him.
Actually, Tom Elliott's hardly ever been on the programme. Very rare.
On the radio.
Rarely on the show.
He never answers a question. He never answers a question. Every time he's on, they want to put their own biggest political point across and never answers a question.
Is there any difference? Here's at the heart of it, Leonard. Is there any difference between the loyalist or indeed a Republican paramilitary who blew someone up, who put a bomb either onto them or under their car or put a bomb in the city centre? Is there any difference? Is there any difference between them and Jihadi John with his blade at someone's throat? Any difference whatsoever? Is there?
Why don't you add on the lint and lifting ordinary nationalists off the street and cutting their throat? Now, lifting somebody off the street and cutting their throat, that's what Jihadi John and them boys done. That's what they done. Why don't you start and do a couple of shows into the British Army and the Glenan gang? That would make something, you know what I mean? that you're sort of doing it half and half.
Geoffrey Donaldson from the DUP, Danny Morrison, the commentator with us today. Good morning to you, Danny.
Good morning.
Morning, your former Sinn Féin Director of Publicity, DUP, Geoffrey Donaldson. Morning to you, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
What are your thoughts on this? Is this Catholic Cardinal Wright who draws a parallel between the IRA and ISIS?
Well,
terrorism,
and I think the Cardinal is being courageous in what he is saying, because there's no doubt, and you've heard it already, he will draw criticism from those who try to pretend that what they did wasn't an act of terrorism. But I put this to you, Stephen. The IRA kidnapped Captain Robert in Iraq in South Armagh. They abducted him and took him across the border. They tortured him, beat him. And eventually his body was hacked to pieces, and we believe, though we haven't confirmation of this, that it was disposed of in a meat processing factory south of the border. Now, by any person's definition, that is an act of terrorism, and it's no different from the actions of someone like Jihadi John. Equally, I will say in response to your previous caller that for those who acted in the name of loyalism, and who abducted Roman Catholics and stabbed them and beat them and cut them up, as did the so-called Shankill Butchers. That was equally an act of terrorism and to be condemned. And just as the Cardinal has said that what the IRA did was totally contrary to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church.
And Geoffrey, for those British security forces who were involved in collusion, were they terrorists?
Well, I'll come to that, Stephen, but let me finish the point. Those who abducted and murdered Roman Catholics were acting contrary to the teachings of the Protestant churches. You shall do no murder is a very, very clear commandment in the Bible. And it applies across Christianity. In terms of this, what John O'Dowd said about collusion, the Terrorism Act is very clear, Stephen. People are guilty of an act of terrorism if they assist those who engage in acts of terrorism to perpetrate their actions. You can be charged under the Terrorism Act with assisting terrorists, even if you weren't involved in the incident yourself, for example, if you drove the car.
But that's a literal interpretation.
Or if you provided information to a terrorist organisation assisted them to carry out an act of terrorism.
That's a literal interpretation.
Covered by the Terrorism Act.
That's a literal interpretation of the law, Geoffrey. For example, the soldiers who shot innocent people on Bloody Sunday, were they terrorists?
No, they were not, because they were acting in a public order situation. They were acting whilst on operational duty. What they did, if it is deemed to be wrong before the law, then, of course, like anyone, they are amenable to the law. No, that was not an act of terrorism, Stephen, and I think we need to be clear about that. That doesn't mean to say that it was right or wrong. I'm simply saying that the Terrorism Act would not define their actions as an act of terrorism.
Danny Morrison?
Well, I think that the as the Archbishop, I think he's quite ignorant and he's absolutely wrong. There are massive differences, ideological and also in terms of the IRA having been an indigenous organisation with clear aims, a historic organisation, an organisation that, yes, used force and conflict, and there were unconscionable things happened here throughout the conflict, as there have been throughout the world. What I object to, and I'm not prepared to go along with, is this paradigm that it's loyalist Republican. Including that being the default position of people like Geoffrey, and perhaps also you've drifted into that position as well. You leave out the dimension of state responsibility, which is often involved in provoking violence in the first place. And the point I want to make is this. The first soldier to be killed here, Trooper Hugh McCabe, was killed by the RUC in the Falls Road when he came home here to defend the people of Divis Flats. First child to be killed, Patrick Rooney, was killed by the RUC. The first RUC man to be killed, Constable William Arbuckle, was killed by loyalists on the Shankill Road. And many, many Catholics were killed long before the IRA took up its weapons. That's just one fact. But the IRA has a set of demands. We know what they are. They have been historical. They're related to the fact that the Irish people were not allowed to determine their own future. And as they used constitutional methods, that too was thwarted by the threat of violence and the threat of civil war by the people who became the founding fathers of the Northern
Ireland. But the widespread revulsion, Danny, that there is across most of the world to what the Islamic State is doing. And if we take Imwazi as an example, you know, he's got a mask on. He's threatening human life. He's torturing innocent civilians. Didn't the IRA do that?
Well, the IRA were involved in
these so-called combatants put masks on and blew up men, women and children, didn't they?
People,
as did loyalist paramilitaries.
And, well, first, I mean, Jeffrey's just used there, you know, there is a terrorism act that can deal with these circumstances, and we know that it's totally impotent. Whenever soldiers and police men appear in court, if ever, and it's usually, by the way, to give evidence against others, it's never to give evidence against themselves or their colleagues. They are given an anonymity. They are given names of X, Y, and Z, or A, B, and C. And, I mean, the IRA was prepared to compromise. The British government was prepared to negotiate with it because they accepted. And of course, the amnesty for the political prisoners at the end of the conflict is a clear demonstration that they accepted that there was a political dimension to the IRA campaign all along. The people who are fighting in the Middle East, I mean, they're out to set up a caliphate. They're drawing in people from across the world.
Are they terrorists, Danny?
Well, in my opinion, yes, of course they are. They use methods of mass terror.
What's the difference between a terrorist and a freedom fighter?
Well, it's often in the eyes of the beholder. But I also think that if we want to create a criteria, then we have to look at the methods that people use to get across their political wing will or their political authority.
Okay.
And under that definition, I mean, there's photographs from 1952 of the Royal Marines in Malaya holding up the heads of captured communists whom they beheaded. Now, nobody was charged with that, but that also was terrorism because they used methods of terrorism, state terrorism, in order to crush a communist insurgent.
Jeffrey, I'll come back to you in a second. Gary in Belfast. Go ahead, Gary. Gary's not there. Thomas. Morning, Thomas.
Hello, Stephen. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on what that Archbishop said. What was it from New York?
Cardinal Dolan, yes.
Just complete sort of total ignorance of his statement that he made.
Why?
Well, the difference between I'm sort of on the sort of Catholic side of things, but
what's the difference between Islamic State and the IRA?
I'm going to tell you. The difference is The difference is to me is the difference between the resistance that fought under Vichy France against Nazi Germany and the difference between psychopathic killers. To me, the IRA was just exactly the same. Now, we fought under Vichy. The IRA were the Vichy resistance under Vichy Ireland. Basically, that's the long and the short of it.
Jeffrey?
The difference between your man, that jihadist, he just kills people out of a twisted, distorted interpretation of Islam. There seems to be some grave confusion at the centre of the Troubles. Like, the single greatest myth, the single greatest lie at the centre of the Troubles, that it was a religious conflict. It wasn't. It was a secular conflict. It was a secular revolution. The IRA revolution was a secular revolution. Why did those men die? Why did those men starve themselves to death? They did it. They died for the Irish constitution.
Let me let Geoffrey Johnson speak to you. Go ahead, Geoffrey.
I want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
When the IRA lined 10 Protestant workmen up against a van at the side of a road in Kingsmill, South Armagh, and they singled out the only Catholic who was travelling in the van that evening and told him to walk away, why did the IRA murder those Protestants? Was that an act of resistance? And what were they resisting? Was it an act of sectarianism? Did they single the 10 Protestants out because of their religion? I mean, the idea that the IRA never killed anybody because of their religion just doesn't stack up. They killed many, many Protestants. And the facts support this. They killed many Protestants simply because of their religion. They murdered them in a sectarian campaign much of it along the border areas. It was about genocide. It was about driving the Protestant community out of that area. That had nothing to do with resistance. It had nothing to do with the concept
of Danny Morrison.
And it had everything to do with singling out Protestants for murder.
Okay, very quickly, Thomas, then Danny, you can respond to Geoffrey.
Okay, very quickly, Stephen. I never agree with the Kingston Massacre. Geoffrey says that it was it wasn't a religious conflict, okay? It was a secular conflict.
Okay, Thomas, thank you. Danny Morrison, go ahead, Danny.
Well, undoubtedly, there were sectarian things happened throughout the conflict. But, you know, if we're going to, do we want to start trading off incidents that happened? I mean, as I said to you, the Founding Fathers, when this state was set up, there was a massive drive against Catholics, for example, in the Belfast area, large refugees created and hundreds of people killed. The fact of the matter is, to get back to the story, is that the IRA, an indigenous organisation, with clear historical demands about the nature of democracy on Ireland, whereas ISIS, they want a caliphate right across the, not just across the Middle East. I mean, they're already involved in Iraq and in Syria. They want to spread this right across North Africa, and they want to impose a sectarian, their sectarianism on Christians and on Shias, and they're doing it through the use of mass terror. I mean, there was a really interesting comment on BBC Two Newsnight about 3 months ago when they brought on their security correspondent and they were talking about ISIS, and he says, no, there's no way can we compare ISIS to the IRA. We knew what the IRA wanted, and whenever there was a military stalemate, they were prepared to compromise.
We know what Islamic State wants.
Pardon?
We know what Islamic State wants.
Yes, and what it wants is unjustifiable and unachievable and an aim that we should resist.
Tell me this. The two corporals who were stripped and brutally murdered in West Belfast, was it terrorists who did that to them?
No, it was members of the IRA. And again, the circumstances were at the time that 3 days after 29 people were shot and wounded in Milltown Cemetery by a plainclothes person who happened to be a loyalist paramilitary armed by the British state.
Michael Stone.
Three days later, a car, to this day, it hasn't been explained, and the father of one of those corporals says that he believes that the British Army and the British government have answers.
I'm just looking here, just to remind myself, I'm just looking at the ripped apart body of one of these corporals lying on the ground. They were savaged, and they were not creating any threat, were they, to the people who murdered them?
Well, I was carrying Kevin Bailey's coffin when this car drove towards us,
and the people
at high speed, and people thought that they were being attacked again.
And the people who murdered these soldiers, Danny. Telling me they weren't terrorists.
Even Eamon Malley, who was there at the time, broadcast that he thought it was happening all over again. Well, he thought that the two people who were driving them were they were armed. They did fire shots. No one was injured.
But
that was a panic.
Yeah. But you see, Danny, when we have this widespread revulsion at Mwazi and Jihadi John for beheading someone, my goodness, is there much difference in cutting someone's head off and ripping someone's body apart as what happened to these corporals? And you are not able to say that the people who did that were terrorists.
You explained to me, Stephen, this propensity of yours just to choose things that either the loyalists were involved in or the Republicans, but more or less the Republicans were involved in. You know, are you going to put on a Secretary of State and turn around and say, I've looked at the photograph of Stephen McConomy, that 10-year-old child who was shot in the face by a plastic bullet and who lay on a life support machine? You know, I've never, ever heard that discourse. And there's a one-sidedness there which is unhelpful to understanding conflict generally.
So, Geoffrey, can you distinguish between terrorists and terror from state government?
Well, clearly, the law does, Stephen. You know, this is not just a UK law. There are international laws which are clear about the distinction between terrorism and what is done in the name of the state. And there is an international criminal court which deals with war crimes. And, of course, people who act in the name of their state can be brought before that international court. So the international law makes very clear distinctions from the United Nations down between terrorism and the actions of a state. That does not mean that people are not amenable to the law, but there is a clear distinction in law. And I think that what the Cardinal was saying is commendable, because he's not seeking to draw a parallel between the nature of the situation in Northern Ireland and what is happening in the Middle East. What he is saying is that when people do these things and they somehow claim a degree of religious cover for what they are doing, then that is wrong. And, you know, I think that's a very valid point for him to make.
Alan Murphy, terrorism? Bloody Sunday, you've said those soldiers weren't involved in terrorism. It's rather one-sided from you, Geoffrey, isn't it?
No, that's not the case, Stephen. It's easy for you because you don't have to have regard to what the law says, but I'm a legislator. I make the law, and therefore I need to understand the distinctions in law. And I am not, Stephen, seeking to justify, if the state kills someone unlawfully, there is law to deal with that. What I'm saying, Stephen, is that the law is very clear. And what happened on Bloody Sunday is not defined in law as an act of terrorism. And that's the reality of the situation. If you want me to say something other than the reality, well, I'm sorry, Stephen, I'm not going to please you by misleading your listeners. The law is very clear on this.
Eamon in Belfast. Morning, Eamon.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say a few things. Firstly, there's a large fundamental difference between the Irish Republican Army and ISIS. And one is that ISIS is carrying out a jihad, which, if translated, is a religious uprising for their beliefs, while the Irish Republican Army were oppressed people that were carrying out a historical cause and fighting for the freedom of their people. The big difference there is, before we get into terrorism and everything else, the jihad are trying to really wage a religious apartheid against the Western world.
They're trying to fight for the freedom of their people. They're trying to impose their values on everyone else.
But they
are trying to gain territory.
The Irish Republican Army didn't try and impose their values. If you read the Irish Proclamation, it's for Catholic, Protestant and the centre. It's not about Catholic or Protestant. The IRA never claimed to be carrying out a religious war. They claimed to be carrying out a war for the people of the whole island of Ireland, 32 counties. And on top of that, there, I'd like to make a few discrepancies on what Geoffrey said. He goes on about the difference between Bloody Sunday, Ballymurphy and the Irish Republican Army. What about the members of the UDR involved in up to 1,000 murders along the South Armagh border with the Glen Ann gang? Yet these are people that he has, in his constituency, has a statue and shrine in Lisburn.
You want to respond to that, Geoffrey?
Well, Stephen, I already answered that point earlier when you put it to me, and I don't accept the premise that is being made here that the Ulster Defence Regiment can be equated with a terrorist organisation. I don't accept that for one moment. Yes, there were a very small number of individuals who joined the UDR and then became involved with paramilitary organisations. The UDR Association, has always condemned anyone who became involved in acts of terrorism. But that doesn't mean... the equivalent of what is being said here would be the equivalent of me saying, the IRA was an organisation that acted from within the Roman Catholic community, so all Roman Catholics supported the IRA. That would be a nonsense, okay. An absolute nonsense. In the same way that it is a nonsense to suggest that everyone who served in the Ulster Defence Regiment is tarred with the same brush as a tiny number of individuals who became involved wrongly in paramilitary activity.
Geoffrey,
and
thank you.
I made it clear, Stephen, that anyone who assisted a terrorist organisation to engage in acts of terrorism, the law covers that very, very clearly indeed. And I am not for one moment defending the actions of anyone who engaged in or assisted any terrorist organisation, nor would anyone associated with the memory of the Ulster Defence.
Okay, Geoffrey Donaldson, Danny Morrison, thank you very much indeed.